Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I really don't know how we're going to do this. 12 days, 4 hours, 16 minutes, and 0 seconds left until kickoff. This is Super Bowl 46. Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Welcome inside the playbook for a Tuesday. And yes, we're here because the Patriots are still playing. They are the AFC champions as they knock off the Baltimore Ravens 23-20 in the championship here on Sunday. And now it's the New York Giants. I just don't get it why some people still say the New York football Giants, because they haven't been the baseball Giants in 60 years. Right? 60 years? Something like that? So, no more New York football Giants. I realize that it says that out in front of their team offices in New York, because I see all the live shots on NFL Network and ESPN, and they do the stand-ups out in front of the offices, and it says New York football Giants. And I'm like, come on. They haven't been the New York baseball Giants in any of our lifetime. So who the hell knows or cares? That's my first rant on the Giants today, by the way. It's the New York Giants. That's it. Period. End of discussion. Now, as many of you are aware, I was openly rooting for this. And so I'm, in that regard, very happy. I'm glad that the Giants are the team. Some of you are probably not happy, and that's okay. Love to hear from you today. We've got, you know, today, we've got the rest of this week, and we've got all of next week to discuss this before kickoff. But I would tell you that, to me, this sort of brings, you know, the whole 2007 and then Super Bowl 42 in 2008, this brings it all full circle. This is a chance for redemption. If you're a competitor, if you've played sports, if you've been around sports at all, then you know what I'm talking about. You're not afraid to go up against somebody that knocked you off. In fact, because the Patriots were favorites, because the Patriots were the juggernaut that could not be stopped back in 07 until they were stopped by this giant organization, this franchise in Super Bowl 42 in Arizona, you know, you want another shot. These are the guys, and there's still 15 guys on this Giants team, as I counted, 15 players on this roster who were a part of that Super Bowl 42 win. And to me, that's you know, a good solid third of your active game day roster. So there's enough representation there to where I think this game should mean something if you're a Patriot player and or fan and you're looking for a little payback. Why wouldn't you? If you're a competitor worth anything at all, you want justice. You want your respect. You want your due course. You want another shot. And really, that's all we're talking about here. You're trying to get another shot. Now the Patriots have that shot, and they have a chance. It will not eliminate the disappointment from Super 42. It won't. I will certainly admit that. But what it will do is take away a lot of the sting, I think, because you can always look back now on Super Bowl 42. If you win this one, you can look back on 42 and say, well, you know what? Wasn't meant to be that day, but we got him 4 years later. Took us 4 years to finally do it again, but we got our payback. And therein lies your story. It comes full circle. What goes around comes around. It's the natural course of human events is what it is. So I was rooting for it. I wanted a shot. And for all the fans who say, oh, I couldn't possibly bear the thought of losing to the Giants again, so what? Stop complaining, you wusses. Are you serious? Oh, I'm playing the Giants because they might beat us again. Well, then you know what? You don't deserve to be a fan. You don't deserve to be a part of this organization. You don't deserve squat. Man up. Everybody needs to man up here. Or woman up, or whatever it is you want to call. How can you possibly advance yourself in life if you're too afraid to do anything about it? Come on. You're not putting yourself on the line like these guys are. Players are putting themselves on the line. They're itching for an opportunity. How about the nine guys that are on this? Is it nine, I think, Kevin? Did we count nine players on the current Patriots roster that were part of 42?
Yes.
Yes, nine players. We were talking last night. I thought it was a few more than that, but it's nine now at official count based on some of the people that were let go earlier this year. Nine players that remember Super Bowl 42. Nine players that undoubtedly will be asked the question over the course of the next week and a half before we get to the game over, hey, is there a measure of revenge involved? Are you glad it's the Giants? Yada, yada. And you know what the answers will be. They're all predictable. No, no, this is a different story, different team. But deep down, I guarantee you, each one of those nine, every one of those competitors, and that puts Tom Brady right at the top of the list, they're all thinking, man, this is great. We got another shot. We can't have a complete do-over, but boy, this will be satisfying when we do what we need to do. That's what it's about. You got a chance to win the ultimate prize. You got a chance for a little bit of payback. You got a little chance for some redemption. And you got a chance to rub out some of the great disappointment that we all experienced 4 years ago when the Patriots were, you know, seconds away from making sports history, which they almost did. That's why I'm glad it's Patriots-Giants, and not the least of which, of course, this just furthers the fuel to the whole New York versus Boston rivalry. Come on. If you've lived in the Northeast at all, and I know many of you have at some point in time, you're, you know, expatriates, if you will, or you currently live somewhere here in the Northeast, that you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, if you're a Patriots fan, just because you like the logo or you've been a fan for a while or your parents were fans or what have you, but you've never really lived up here, you might have a harder time understanding this. But in all honesty, this is the hub of the universe. We bill ourselves here in Boston, in Massachusetts, as the hub of the universe. It's always been our nickname. The world revolves around the Northeast Corridor of the United States. Whether you tend to agree with that or not, it is pretty much a fact. Boston has long been a stepchild to New York in a lot of ways because New York has always been here, there, and out there everywhere. It's been the city that never sleeps. It's the largest city in the continental United States. It's the largest city in the United States, period. Okay, we get all that. And Boston, being the other big city in the Northeast Corridor, has always played, you know, little sister to New York in that regard. And Boston's always been little sister because of the total number of championships won, and a lot of that has to do with the Yankees, certainly, winning all of their World Series, and the Red Sox not winning a quarter of what the Yankees have won. But it's always been a great rivalry. And this just further fuels the fire between Boston and New York. So for those that haven't lived in this area or haven't been a fan of either one of the teams involved here, okay, you know, it's kind of like, oh, God, another New York-Boston thing. Yawn. Okay, I get it. I get it. You know what? Just bear with us. And by the way, you're still going to watch. And by the way, the ratings for the Super Bowl will undoubtedly be at least among the top two or three television shows of all time, just because the interest of the NFL is high. Add to that the fact that you've got, you know, sports mad cities of Boston and New York going at each other here, then I'm predicting now this will be one of the highest rated television programs of all time. Super Bowls usually are. This one has a chance to be number one. Depends on the buildup. And I think we're starting to get there. And obviously, I'm a little bit glad that we have the Pro Bowl this week because, you know, first of all, I think it's a unique idea to have a game in between the 2 weeks. I always hated the off week with nothing going on the weekend before the Super Bowl. And while the Patriots and Giants and probably the Ravens and 49ers players, for the most part, won't be a part of Honolulu in the game, at least we do have a game to watch, look forward to, and just, you know, enjoy. I actually like the idea of the Pro Bowl being in between the 2 weeks. This is going to be, as I said, must-see TV. and it's a little early to start really kind of game planning it. I realize that we're all kind of doing that in our own heads. I've heard a lot of different things. A couple of them I'm going to share with you today. But the one that jumps out at me right off the bat, some of the ESPN idiots, some of the analysts talking about how, you know, Eli Manning, you know, you might take Eli Manning over Tom Brady going into this big game. And I'm like, what? What? Now, I got severely castigated here last week for suggesting that Eli Manning might be better than his brother. Right now, he is better than his brother because his brother, we don't know for a fact definitively if he's ever going to play again. You could make the argument, and I got, you know, hammered for this as well. Well, that's fine. I can stand up. I can take it. I made the point that I really believe that you could make an argument, especially if the Giants win this Super Bowl, you can make an argument that Eli is a better money quarterback than his brother. Dagmar, you know who you are. You hammered me for it, and that's fine. I love you, Dag. But we agree to disagree here because Eli will have a couple of championship pelts on his belt. He's played very well in the playoffs thus far. Tom Brady, less so. So I can understand why somebody might bring the question, but really, come on. Shake some sense back into your brains here. Is Eli Manning an elite quarterback? I think he deserves to be considered in the class of Brady, Breeze, Rodgers. I think he deserves to be in that class of current NFL hierarchy calling signals for their team. I don't know how you can possibly keep him from that. He is right now a top five guy in the NFL. I'm convinced more than ever because of the beating that he took from San Francisco this last week in that 20-17 overtime win. He took a, you watch the game, he took a huge pounding. He sacked six times. He was hit like 18 times. I mean, he was just, you know, his head was, you know, his helmet was cockeyed. His chin strap was off. I mean, you know, he had dirt in his face mask. I mean, dude got hammered. And he got back up and kept on ticking, just like the old Timex watch commercials. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. He did. I give him huge credit for that. He's a battler. He's a gamer. The Patriots are going to have their hands full with Eli Manning. Can't believe I just said that, but I did. Because it's true. The game will be won or lost. And please, okay, I believe I proved myself with this one last week. Those of you that listen to the show regularly, you know what I'm talking about here. Last week I said, what will decide the outcome of the AFC Championship? Turnovers. Mistakes. The Patriots committed three turnovers. The Ravens committed one. So the Patriots committed more turnovers. If it had not been for the one turnover that the Ravens made, the interception by Brandon Spikes, and if it had not been for the biggest non-turnover mistake, certainly of the playoffs thus far, the 32-yard duck hook by Billy Cundiff, then the Patriots, we'd be wrapping up the year today. This would be an end-of-year show as opposed to kicking off Super Bowl coverage show. So I believe I was 100% accurate when I said mistakes will determine the outcome of the game. And as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, guess what? Let me rewind that. Mistakes will determine the outcome of this game. It's that easy, really. You can turn off your televisions, okay? All of the blah, blah, blah that you're going to hear for the next week and a half on ESPN and NFL Network and anywhere else you happen to watch, all that crap, all that jargon, all that mumbo-jumbo, turn it off. Not going to do you any good. Because they're going to talk until you can't stand to hear them talk anymore. Happens every year. It's going to happen this year. And it's going to seem worse because your team, the team that you have a vested interest in, your team, the Patriots, is involved this year. Maybe you kind of like to soak it in. Maybe you love to hear it. Maybe, okay, that's fine. But believe me, by this time next week, by next Tuesday, he's going to be like, oh, God, please kick this off. Ah, kick it off. But if you do yourself a favor, And this is what I'm actually going to do this week a little bit. Do yourself a favor. Get away with it. Get away from it for a couple of days. For instance, tomorrow, Kevin and the guys and Eric Scalavino, Eric's obviously off today because it's a regular work week for, schedule this week. Team is leaving for Indianapolis, I believe, on Sunday. So it's a regular week. So he's off today. Back in here tomorrow, but, you know, they're going to take over tomorrow. I've got a college basketball trip to take this week. I'll be in Pittsburgh. So I'm getting away from it tomorrow. I'm not going to do any football tomorrow. Tomorrow, done. I'm getting away with it for a day, just number one, because I'll be doing hoops, but number two, because I kind of want to cleanse the palate. I'll be back in here in the studio on Thursday. And I'll have Russell Baxter on the show on Thursday. And we'll start to look at, you know, some of the matchups and start tweaking things. And then next week it's full bore. PFW, the initial plan is the PFW guys are going to be in Indianapolis hosting PFW in Progress. And Pete and I will be holding the fort down here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough for our programs next week leading up to the kickoff on Super Bowl 46. Don't feel sorry for me. I've got college basketball work anyway next week too, so it'd be kind of tough for me to fly off to Indianapolis. I still get to talk about it with you, and that's what I really like to do. Today's program is a little bit different. If you want to chime in with your thoughts and your nitpicks from Sunday's game, let's do it right now. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Hit me up on Facebook. If you're not a friend on Facebook, well, submit the request. Dang it. What's taking you so long? John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Send the request, and then I'll answer that. I'll accept that. Then you can Facebook post, and you can message, and you can chat, and we can also, whenever I pop online, whenever the program's not on the air, well, we can talk football then, too. It's great. Good to talk to you. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at jrook0722. J-R-O-O-K-E 0722 is the Twitter page. Nitpicks from Sunday. Yes, I want to hear your nitpicks. There's plenty to nitpick. Patriots are oh so fortunate to be where they are right now. They should have lost the game. Baltimore deserved to win that game, but they made the most crucial mistake of all right at the very end when it mattered most. And the Patriots will gladly accept it. Now, the Patriots, you know, played well enough to win, but they certainly didn't play as well as they can, and I think we all realize that. So we'll get some nitpicks in here. And then hour number two of the program today, Coach Belichick just finished a conference call with national media. And so we're going to get his conference call to you so you can hear not only the local media and the Indianapolis media and the New York Giants media, certainly, but also the rest of the national media that's going to be on the Super Bowl trail to Indy. Talk to Coach Belichick about, you know, preparations and what's going on this week. And then Kevin's put together some highlights of the season thus far. And Kev, within the context of our show and other things, I believe. So that's also coming up in hour number two of the program, because like I said, we got a long time to X and O this. And we're going to. But that's what we're going to do here in the second hour of the program today. And then, boys,
I can talk now.
Yeah. Oh, so you weren't even on the air? What happened?
No, the microphone stand and the cable broke.
What did you do to it? Did you hack it with something?
Reattached it. I had to go grab a Phillips.
Well, how would it unattach itself? Did you guys get wild in here for postgame the other night?
No, there was no champagne celebration in here.
Nothing, huh? Did you guys get hats and shirts?
No, unfortunately.
Come on!
Didn't get anything.
Where's the swag? Seriously?
And I was on the field right for the whole thing, and I didn't get anything.
The rookie got down on the field after the game, too, for the ceremony. He was thrilled. Out in the middle of the confetti and everything.
Yeah,
can you imagine being 16 years old and being down there and
having
confetti?
People were, like, picking up confetti to save it for, like, scrapbooks and stuff.
That's what he did. That's what he did. He took it to school and had probably, I think, about 10 of his friends MF him. Seriously, you know? I'm like, dude, that's the price you pay for, you know, getting to go down on the field, you know, for the AFC Championship and the trophy presentation. Small price to pay, I think. You know?
I mean, that's we were talking about this before the game even happened. That's the experience of a lifetime for him, especially at that age.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's a wonderful experience. It was great just to be there and watch it. I mean, frankly, none of us, I mean, toward the end of the game, I don't think anybody figured we'd be here talking about a win today. The way things were going, the Patriots, you know, the first interception that Brady threw in the first half, I'm thinking, you know, early in the game, I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is not a good sign. And until Brandon Spikes, you know, had his pickoff, I actually thought the Patriots would lose the game. But then the Patriots offense couldn't do anything with the ball after Spikes' pickoff. Oh, so much to nitpick. I'm not even sure where we can start. So I'm not going to try to get too terribly choosy. I'll instead save that for you here. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Here's our boy Derek at the University of Arizona. What's up, D?
What's going on, John?
How are you today?
Doing pretty good, man. It's been an emotional weekend. I'm, like, physically tired.
Yep. Yep.
And mentally tired. I mean, just my whole body, I fell asleep about an hour after the game because I was just completely wiped out.
I agree.
I agree with a lot of what you said. And by the way, that picture of your son doing the
snow angel?
Yeah, the snow angel in the confetti. That was great.
Thank you. If you haven't seen it yet, go hit the Facebook page, and I've still got it posted on there where the rookie is out in the middle of the confetti doing the snow angel. He pulled a Lonnie Paxton and decided to go out and do that. And I said, oh, that's a great photo. So I jumped on him there and got the photo. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun for him. A lot of fun for everybody who got to get out on the field.
Well, you know, it was great. It was a really, really great, you know, game to watch. And, I mean, I can't believe both games were the way they were. I mean, it was just amazing that they both came down to just such close battles. You know, it just shows you, like, the level of competition. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I thought, like you said, the Patriots are fortunate to win, but...
Yeah, they are.
You know, I kind of feel... I'm not really sure how I feel about it. That's what I was going to ask you about. That's what I was going to talk to you about. You know, I mean, do we feel good that the Patriots, you know, that Tom Brady had a bad game and the offense couldn't punch it in the red zone and they still came out with a win even though they had three turnovers against a pretty good team, or do we feel bad about that?
No, I'm not as bummed by it as I really think I am, because I really believe that, you know, in the course of championship seasons, in the course of special years, in almost every instance, the team that ends up winning a championship, Derek, gets a little help along the way. A team of destiny gets some help. And I believe this is where the Patriots got their help. You know, the breaks have to fall. You can kind of see it. They kind of like line up like dominoes, and then the dominoes start to fall. Well, the first lineup of the domino was drawing Denver in the tournament, okay? And well, the first domino to fall was getting the number one seed, because then you get home field advantage all the way through, right? Next domino to fall is drawing Denver. Well, how can you not, you know, love that? It was, they clearly were the worst team of the 12 in the postseason tournament. And then you pound them 45-10, you know, in Tebow Bowl 2. And then you kind of wait and see what happens with, the other game. And then it just so happens that, you know, you almost got Houston, but you got Baltimore. And okay, that's fine, because, you know, you do want somebody of some substance to play. And so you do play a team that has clearly a talented squad, and you don't play up to your snuff, but you play well enough to win, which is all at this stage is that is required. In a tournament, and you'll hear this phrase a million times if you haven't already heard it, but when the NCAA basketball tournament comes along in March, what's the mantra for the teams at the top? Survive and advance. It doesn't matter the style points. Doesn't matter how you look or what you do on the way. All that it matters is that you have one more point than the other guy, because then you get to play the next game. That's it. And that's all that is required here of the Patriots. Were they good? No. Were they great? Absolutely not. Was Baltimore good? Yes. Were they good enough? No. They weren't. They lost. Now, tell me why they lost. That's fine. Were there reasons? Sure. Did they shoot themselves in the foot? Yeah. But so did the Patriots. In fact, you make the argument the Patriots shot themselves more in the foot than the Ravens did.
That's what I would say.
Well, it's true. It's true. It is true. So, you know, Ravens fans, you know, that's you got a good team. You got a good team. But there's no reason to tear down the Patriots. And I heard some people on local radio today, some Ravens fans call in just ballistic, because, you know, the Patriots are the luckiest team I've ever seen. The Ravens play as bad as I've seen them play in the last, you know, 10 years. And come on. Okay, stop making excuses. There are no excuses. this is the shot. You didn't win. It's over. Just like if the Patriots had lost the game, we'd say, you know what? Had a shot. We didn't play well enough. It's over. Congratulations, Baltimore. But you know what? Baltimore couldn't take advantage of it. And if that means, you know, the Patriots won because of home field advantage, great. That's why you play for home field advantage. I think we saw that. I thought the crowd was great on Sunday. One of the few times over the course of the year that the crowd actually, I think, helped make a difference. It was noisy. It was great. It was energetic. It was electric. You could feel it. You could feel the currents running here through the stadium. And I really believe that helped. And then, of course, all the post-game comments about, you know, how, you know, Myra Kraft, you know, obviously blew the field goal left or what. You know what? That's all fine and good. It really is. And it's all feel good. And it helps us all sort of, rectify the fact that she's not here any longer. But there's just something there. There's a little je ne sais quoi, you know? There's just a little something.
Well, we've talked about this a couple times. I mean, you and I seem to talk almost every weekend, if not more than once. And we talked about how this team has something different than other teams in the past and how they are mentally tough. And that seems to be something that's come up and, you know, from Bill's mouth recently and, you know, and a lot of media outlets I've seen talking about the mental toughness of this team. And it is. And I mean, this team is mentally tough and it's different. And I'll tell you that, you know, as much as my body, I'm not sure will recover for days for watching the game and how it unfolded, but, you know, just with all the emotions and how it was, I think the team is better off for it. I mean, you look at, like you said, they come into a really great situation with the Broncos and just destroy them. And like many of us thought, you know, that they would. And, okay, you're feeling pretty good. And then the team comes and they play, and it's just an absolute dogfight with the Ravens, who, you know, I talked about last week being really emotional, can get up for games, and that was one of my biggest worries. And they did, and they were right there until the end. And I agree that I think the Patriots hurt themselves more than the Ravens did, but the difference was that the Patriots, you know, capitalized on the Ravens' mistakes at more of a key time during the game. It really was just how domino fell.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, it's pretty incredible. You know, now they're going into, another situation with the Giants, and, I know you, when we talked about this when I was in the studio, you wanted the Giants. You wanted to face them and go through that, and that's fine. And I think the Patriots are getting already, I mean, I don't want to play the whole total disrespect card, but if you watched ESPN at all in the last, you know, especially yesterday, it seemed like a lot of people were surprised the Patriots were favored, and that's just the opinion I got.
Okay.
That I don't know how you feel about it.
Feel about them being favored?
Yeah, I think the Patriots should be favored in the game. Right now they're 3.5 with 55 the over under.
Yeah, I think it's worth that based on the body of work over the course of the year. I mean, the Giants were 9-7. So, you know, they won their division. They've played very well in the postseason. They're clearly peaking at the right time. That's the kind of team you really want to face. You want to make sure that you're facing the best. And right now, the Giants are the best in the NFC. So I got no problem with that. But based on the body of work, I also don't have any problem. And I don't think it's unfair for the Patriots to be a 3-point favorite, even though the Giants did win 24-20 during the regular season.
Yeah. No, I know. And this is something I saw yesterday that, you know, the last three times that this would be the fourth time, and the last three times that a team has played each other in the regular season and again the Super Bowl. It started with 99 with the Rams and the Titans,
yeah,
again with the Patriots and the Rams in 01, and the Patriots and Giants in 07. Whoever lost in the regular season won the Super Bowl.
That's correct.
So, I mean, you're going to look at, you know, it's just going to be an interesting game. I mean, I feel better about the Giants game because Bill just seems to play teams better when you play them the second time, especially when they lose. You know, I think Sebastian Vollmer's health could be a kind of an underrated injury thing, because if he's able to play, then I think that you can do something with Solder, Vollmer, Light to kind of help that Giants pass rush. And, I mean, really, that's what it's going to come down to, just being able to keep Tom Brady upright and having Eli Manning, who has had a really tremendous year, and I've been a huge critic of his, but there's no doubt he's up there with the elite quarterbacks.
He is.
Right now.
He is.
I think he's put himself in that category almost permanently with this season. I know that might be ridiculous, but
well, there'll still be some detractors. There will still be some detractors on Eli, Derek, just because, you know, Eli's still, you know, Peyton's little brother, and because, you know, there is no microscope like the microscope in the Big Apple. So,
yeah, in New York, no
yeah,
question.
So I think there will always be detractors. There were detractors for Joe Namath back in the 60s and 70s, too. You're too young to remember that, but there were. So, but, you know, he also, you know, made a name for himself when he predicted they would win the Super Bowl against the Baltimore Colts, and they did. And that's, you know, and he's still living on that thing 40 years later. So, you know, but I agree with you. I think he's kind of put himself in the conversation now amongst the elite quarterbacks in the game. And right now, he certainly is in the top five QBs in the game.
I mean, and there's a lot of things to look at. We can look at matchups for the Giants, you know, later this week. So I should probably try to get away from it.
Yeah, you know, you need to take my advice. You need to step away from the edge, okay? Because otherwise, you're going to drive yourself nuts between now and kickoff.
It's going to be a long 2 weeks.
It's a long 2 weeks, so make sure you take some downtime. But you can always check in here in the playbook.
All right, man. I'll get him back to later this week. And great win. And you know, I'm not complaining about you know how we won the game. The point is, we won, and we're going.
Absolutely, that's all that matters. That's all that matters, brother.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Hit the books. All right. Derek at the University of Arizona. Let's see. John in South Carolina says, guys, the reason why people think Sims and Nance were rooting against us is because Sims agreed with all the referee calls. They thought it was obvious Gronk was out, and it was obvious the Raven receiver was in. Add that to the emotion, and people perceive something that is not there. Well, first of all, on the pass that was tipped away in the end zone by Sterling Moore, the second foot, and the coming down in the end zone and the ball leaving his hands were simultaneous. It was not a catch. That was the correct call. So I don't know if, John, that's what you're referring to, but if that's what you're referring to, the correct call was made. I mean, it was almost a miracle play. But, you know, like I've said before, teams, in order to get where they are, sometimes you need some good fortune. And the Patriots had some good fortune. You have to have a little bit of the karma going your way in order to win a championship. Every team that wins a title, there is a seminal point in the season where you say, ah, you know what? We were lucky there. We got a break. Patriots had a couple of those moments, I thought, in Sunday's game against the Ravens. Just happens. He says, I think they tend to agree with the referees, which means every call against the Patriots comes across as anti-Patriot. They sound happier about Raven good offensive plays because they're honestly surprised. When Gronk breaks a tackle, it is not as special. You know, that's a decent point, John. It's because we expect. And so when you get something that's not expected, you're going to sound more emotional about it. And so if Baltimore wasn't expected to do as well as they did, especially offensively, it's going to sound different. Especially if you're emotional toward your team. It's a pretty good analogy. David in Reno, Nevada says, you want an example of poor game calling? Well, first I'd ask if you listen to the announcers throughout the game. It's pretty clear to me that according to Phil Sims, that when the Pats had a good play, whether it's offense or defense, the majority of the time it was due to poor execution by the Ravens. Well, I didn't get a chance to listen, David, because obviously I'm there and I'm watching the game. I can only tell you that, you know, Phil Sims is... he's good. I think he's also lost a little on his fastball in terms of analysis over the last couple of years. I don't know why that is. I just don't think he's quite as poignant. And I think he just sort of, I don't think he adds a lot like he used to. He used to give us great insight as to why plays are called in particular instances. I don't think he's quite doing that. And I'd love to have the time to be able to kind of go through some of the calls that he makes and tell you why I don't think it's a particularly good piece of analysis. All I will tell you is that sometimes analysts especially, as well as play-by-play guys, they go into a game with a theme in mind, a storyline that they, you know, tend to want to follow. They create a storyline, a plot line, if you will, in their heads, and they consciously or subconsciously follow the storyline that they've already created in their heads as the way they think the game will and or should turn out. And I don't think the storyline was following the way that Phil Sims thought it would turn out. And so, therefore, that's why he sounds somewhat incredulous and gives the Ravens credit or gives the Ravens discredit. Maybe he thought before the game the Patriots would romp. I don't know. Seemed like everybody else did, so why should Phil Sims be any different? That's kind of why I'm, you know, kind of what I'm thinking about. Chad says, have you noticed how anti-Patriots Marshall Faulk is? Every season he's always the negative Nancy when it comes to comments on the Pats. And Sunday he had the nerve to say that. All off Brady's Super Bowl wins came because he was riding on Willie McGinnis and defense's coattails. Well, you know, first of all, that just shows you how ignorant Marshall Faulk is. And I've told you on this program before, and I'll tell you again, don't listen to what the NFL Network analysts say. They're all ex-players. They all have an agenda. And a lot of them don't watch enough football anymore now that they've left the game to know what the hell it is they're talking about. The game has changed since most of those guys have left the game, Faulk included. Plus, Faulk has had a, you know, he's had a thing for the Patriots ever since, you know, Super Bowl 36. You know, some people are just bitter, and Marshall Faulk is a bitter individual. Ask him. He'll tell you. He thinks the Patriots cheated. So, but, you know, the NFL Network has him because he's a name. That's why they have him. So, you know what? Do yourself a favor. Move away from the television. Don't watch ESPN because those guys are going to regurgitate until they're going to make you vomit. And then second of all, NFL Network's guys are not worth listening to. The only guy that's worth listening to, in my opinion, on NFL Network is Mike Mayock. Okay? That's it. I think he actually does a pretty good job of splitting hairs and analyzing and being relatively fair down the middle, you know, and not necessarily picking sides. The other guys, they have agendas. And if you don't think I'm right, watch some of the programs and then report back to me here on the program over the course of the next, you know, week, and we'll discuss. Toussaint says, what a game. I know it's Nitpick Tuesday, so I will give you mine. It has nothing to do with the game. It's the dumb analyst after the game who's saying Eli had an incredible game and Brady played terrible. Well, in a sense, yes, Toussaint, he did. Brady scored 23 in regulation. Eli had two drives start inside the 49ers 30 and needed overtime to get his team to score 20. I know Brady didn't have his best game, but if Eli is elite, he shouldn't be held. Shouldn't he be held to the same measuring stick? Okay, you make a point there, but I think they're looking at the overall, you know, percentage of completions and yardage thrown. And I think you have to give some credit to the 49ers defense for forcing, you know, and keeping the Giants offense out of the end zone, just like you have to give the Ravens defense some credit for forcing the Patriots to kick field goals when Brady himself said he was upset they couldn't score touchdowns. Let's give the Ravens a little bit of credit there. Major Dave. John, while I eagerly look forward to the Super Bowl rematch, I have to say I'm a little worried about the outcome. Already the ESPN NFL channels are touting the defense of the Giants and the superb quarterbacking ability of Eli Manning. That New England has no chance. What results would be the same as it was 4 years ago and most likely a blowout. Well, that's just stupid, Major. It's just stupid. They all say that Vegas has it totally wrong. The Patriots should not be favored by three. Well, it's because they're not looking at it. I don't know what to tell you. You'd set the odds based on the body of work. That's all I can tell you. The Giants were 9-7 during the regular season. Okay, they put it together at the right time. So if they think that the Vegas blew it, well then I hope all of them put money on the Giants. Okay, I hope every stinking one of them bets their mortgage on the Giants. And guess what? We're going to see the rate of foreclosures go up next month. How's that? Major Dave also says, I don't subscribe to that thinking. I really believe that we can and should win, but like I mentioned earlier, I'm worried because of all the negativity I hear about our team. Don't worry about that in the least, because one of the things that this team has done is they have used negativity to their advantage like no other team I've ever seen. And if you don't believe now that this team is resilient, then you'll never believe it. Because they could have easily gone down to defeat when they fell behind 17-16 on Sunday. And they found a way to pick it up, march right back down the field and score again, get a stop. Baltimore drives again. They get another stop, and then ultimately Baltimore shoots itself in the foot with the missed field goal attempt. But the Patriots kept coming. Even though it looked bad, they kept coming. And I think their persistence was rewarded ultimately by the victory. So there you go. Giovanni in Chandler, Arizona. Longtime listener, first-time emailer. Thank you, Giovanni. I love to talk about being a fan. I don't fear the Giants a single bit. If we start thinking about losing from now, then how the hell can we enjoy this game that we fans are privileged to see so often? We're in the playoffs so much that fans take it for granted, and when we lose a game, it becomes a heartbreak. Come on, Pats fans. Be excited your team's in the Super Bowl. This may sound odd, but it's a yearly thing. I'm a student at Arizona State. Uh-oh, we got a rival for Derek. He's at the U of A. Before every Super Bowl, my buddies and I get together and play a good old game of full contact football in the park by my house. Yeah. That's great. I directly judge the outcome of the upcoming game based on how our game goes. For example, during Super Bowl 42, the worst Super Bowl in history, it was a rare, cloudy, gloomy day in the Valley. We played the game. I remember not doing very well. Growing increasingly agitated, I tried to do too much, ended up fumbling the ball twice. We still had a chance to win. On fourth down on the opponent's goal line, I was stuffed and fumbled the ball again and lost what always ends up being a meaningless game. I was so upset I could not enjoy the Super Bowl hours later. This year will be different. I hope it will be sunny and warm. I will lower my head and break my nose if I have to so the Pats can win. Now that's a fan. Giovanni, excellent email. I trust that when you get your game together, that especially if your guys win, you will report back here to let us know, so that way we can all rest easy and know that the Super Bowl's in the bag. You're the man. My friend Bruce says, John, I agree on the Boston-New York thing. However, you will find that the majority of Giant fans in this area are Giant fans because of their parents. We got our affection for the Giants from years of sitting in front of the TV watching them when they were actually New England's team. Before there was a Patriots franchise, the Giants were the only game in town. In regard to the Pats, respect them, of course. If they were playing anyone else, I would be rooting hard for them. But when it comes down to a matchup between these two really great franchises, I have to root for the Giants. And anyone who is insane enough to say they would take Eli over Brady should be committed. They are crazy. And this is coming from a Giants fan, by the way. No, but they do it, Bruce, and I think you're aware of this. They do it just to create controversy and create, you know, people talking and create people like us and shows like this talking about them. So now it's kind of like, oh, well, I got to watch ESPN, see what these idiots are talking about. That's why they do it. A lot of times on these analysts just say, you know what, I think I'm going to take Eli over Brady. Just for the sake of argument. It happens all the time in sports talk radio. Happens all the time, you know, whenever there's a chance to give an opinion on set pieces on television nowadays. You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. They sound convincing because they do a good job of backing up their argument with facts. They study. In other words, they prep. They do their homework. And they can be convincing. But if you held a loaded gun to their head, they're not going to tell you that they would take Eli over Brady. That's just stupidity. Just stupidity. TG and NJ says, I respectably disagree, John, on the Super Bowl ratings. I think they're going to be down. Outside of the New York-New England area, the interest will be down. Outside of the New England area, they hate the Patriots, and everyone is sick of New York. Also, these two teams were recently in the big game, and this time around there is less interest because the Pats aren't going for the undefeated season. Fans outside of New England only watch to see the Pats lose. Be interesting to get the opinion of football fans from other parts of the country. It's like the AFC game being televised in Pittsburgh. Who's watching? Who are they rooting for? Fans always watch football. TG, they always watch football. They will watch the game. And then when we do our wrap-up show after the Super Bowl, TG, let's revisit this, all right? I'm serious. Let's revisit it. If you're right, I will certainly give you credit for being right, but I don't agree. I don't agree. If anything, I think people will watch to see if, you know, Madonna has a wardrobe malfunction. Kevin's nodding his head. Yes. Yes. We're going to watch. Yes.
I hope not for my sake, because I'll be there. I don't want to see that thing.
You got to make sure now, okay? You got to make sure.
It's like a balloon filled with sand.
Well, oh, God, dude, come on. Really? God, you had to give me that impression now. You got to make sure that, you know, you got your camera phone ready to roll on the sidelines, okay, brother? While she's out there performing, just in case. All right. John says, John, can you explain how this occurred and nobody noticed? They reviewed this play to see if his foot stepped out of bounds, reviewed it to see if he crossed the line. They didn't want to notice that his entire hand was shoved inside Devin McCourty's face mask. I'll look at it later, but thank you, John, for sending it. Brian, from Longview, Texas. Saturday's game was one to remember for sure. We were lucky enough to get that win. Just remember, though, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Ha-ha, you are right. Obviously, I've been a Boston fan since I can remember, even though I'm from Texas. But I do understand the rivalry to an extent between Boston and New York, since I don't reside there. Funny thing is, my wife is a Giants fan. She was obviously cheering them on to beat the 49ers, as was I, because I want revenge just as much as any other Patriot fan or player, and I welcome it. My wife and I are already going back and forth about this upcoming game, and it's been a lot of fun so far. Just to let you know, I made a bet with my wife, and after we win the Super Bowl, she has to wear my Pats jersey and tell all of our friends in person that the Patriots are the best team, and I will always be better than the Giants. Okay, and I assume you have to do the same if the Giants somehow win. Sean says, John, there's no question that Nance and Sims hate the Patriots. Just take a listen to the Broncos game before this one. It is so obvious. Well, you know, Sean, and everybody else who thinks that, you know, the CBS guys are one-sided and they hate the Patriots, fine. Think whatever you want. I really would be surprised if that were the case. But if they are, shame on them. It's a classless thing to do. It's not the right thing to do. I don't think anybody wants to be remembered for being somebody like that, you know, as your career is clearly entering its twilight stages, as I think it is for both people. Although, let's recall now that, you know, Pat Summerall lasted for a long time as the voice of the NFL on CBS, and so Jim Nance probably has another 10 to 20 years to go. But, you know, you're only as good as your last game. I say that to my broadcast students. I've lived by that for the 30-plus years that I've been a play-by-play broadcaster myself. You're only as good as your last game. And I hope Jim Nance realizes that. I hope Phil Sims realizes that. And if they are biased, shame on them. Let's see, what else we have? Gina Daytona. On the Evans note, known touchdown catch, you have to watch, talking about Lee Evans and the one that, you know, looked like he could have had it in the end zone, is knocked away there by Sterling Moore. The shadow of his foot on the ground moving toward his foot to determine actual ground contact. Ball starts moving out of Evans' hands before his toe meets the shadow. You have to watch and stop action, slow motion. Was not a catch. Sterling played the play out. Now, agreed, Gene. Agreed. It was the correct call to make. It was one of those fortunate, lucky things. Vashon from New York, longtime listener to the program. Must say your insight is refreshing. Thank you, Vashon. Anyways, I just wanted to know if you felt that the Patriots' clock management of the game was poor. Forget the two-minute warning before the half, but on the last offensive drive when it was second down, they could have waited for the two-minute warning and saved the snap, forcing Baltimore to use their timeouts. Good point. All they did was rush a run to Green Ellis for a negative loss, then Brady threw the lazy pass to Hernandez that Reed deflected. I thought the play calling and clock managing on the drive could have easily cost them the game. You know, I actually didn't really think about it. I think it's because people were focused on obviously other things. But I think your argument has some validity to it, by Sean. Certainly at the end of the half, I was disappointed like everybody. They had two timeouts left. Long way to go, but why not take a shot at it? That was very unpatriot-like. They usually take a shot at something like that. Jim in Destin, Florida says, I couldn't agree with you more. Sports analysts will discuss these two teams and offer predictions ad nauseum between now and February 5th, but the fact is it all will come down to which team makes the most plays on Super Bowl Sunday. If Asante Samuel doesn't drop an easy pick, the defensive line wraps up Manning and prevents the pass to Tyree that he somehow caught, the Pats go 19-0. But the fact is, during the final drive, the Giants executed. The Patriots didn't. If Evans holds on to that touchdown pass, if Sterling Moore doesn't somehow reach in and knock it free, it's the Ravens, not the Pats, in Super Bowl 46. And if Cundiff doesn't blow a 32-yarder, who knows what could have happened in overtime. No analyst or fan could have predicted what happened in the last drive of Super Bowl 42 or the Ravens' last drive last Sunday, but that's pretty much how I see Super 46 playing out. And whichever team makes the plays down the stretch will hoist the Lombardi. Okay. Brian. John, I read earlier that some of the Giants players were actually intending upon taking the 49ers kick returner out of the game because of his concussion history. What are your thoughts on that kind of play? I feel that the game is certainly physical. It's not good to see it being watered down in the slightest, but intentionally trying to hurt seriously a player? Isn't that crossing a line? Didn't the league institute many of the rules of late to avoid helmet-to-helmet contact injuries, one of which is concussions? Yes, they did. Players talk a big game. I don't actually think, Brian, that they follow through on it. You know, if you've ever been out there on the field and you see how fast the NFL moves, I think if someone has an agenda, to go out there and intentionally hurt somebody, all I can tell you is what goes around comes around really fast. There's no time to think about that. You're so busy trying to worry about your own responsibilities and not bust a call on your own, you don't really have any time to sit there and think, I got to go get that guy, I got to take him out. You don't have time to think about it. It's when you lose focus and lose sight of your duties, if you're a player now, it's when you lose sight of what it is you're supposed to do in any particular play that you get burnt. I just don't buy it. I never will buy it. You know, guys talk a big game. Maybe that, you know, from time to time, players actually get away with something like that. Sure, I'll allow for that. It's not a conscious thing that goes on all the time. By the way, John says, disagree with no one will have interest. From outside Washington, work at a Starbucks. Big Pats fan, grew up in Franklin. A lot of Skins fans hate the Giants, so more Patriots fans in the pool. Second question, do you think that Brady in big games tends to, I don't know, he seems to go to targets like Edelman and others that are not normally heavy targets? Honestly, John, it's hard to say because, quite frankly, he goes to whoever is open. I can certainly see the Giants doing what they can to take out the tight ends. I can certainly see them trying to take out one of the receivers, whether it's Welker. Might make Edelman. It might make Branch more available. Brady will take what's given him. That's what he's going to do. Brady will take what's given him. All right, I've got just a few minutes left here before we've got to get to our second half stuff here, but I do want to get Kat in Chicago in here very quickly. Kat, how's it going today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Great, Kat. What's on your mind?
So I didn't hear the earlier show, so I apologize if this has been kind of beaten down already, but I'm wondering about that interception, the second interception, and I'm wondering about, I could not see really what was going on, and I'm wondering if you did. Kind of in the middle of the field, all I could see was Brady dropping back, waiting, looking, and then lobbing that thing to Slater, and who was double covered. And I'm just wondering, like, I'm questioning, was that a decision? Certainly it was a bad decision by Brady. But I'm wondering what the play call was, what was going on in the middle of the field, and I'm wondering, like, I can see the wisdom in having Slater make a beeline down there and clear the guys out and you know, and bring two defenders back with him all the way, right?
Yeah.
To clear out the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not see well enough, you know, based on the camera angles and stuff, to see what was happening in the middle. And so I'm wondering what happened.
I don't think anything happened other than the fact that Brady had one thing in mind and he was going long in the play. And I think that's what's most disappointing to me as a follower of Brady, because I think he totally intended. In fact, I'll tell you what, Kat, in all honesty, as soon as they got the ball, the first thing I thought of was burn them.
Really?
Yeah, why not? It happens a lot in this game, and you have an opportunity to catch somebody off guard, and I think that's what Brady thought he was doing from the get-go, regardless of what the Ravens did. I give the Ravens 110% credit for realizing that Brady could do that. They had the play covered beautifully. What Brady should have done is realize that it's not Randy Moss, it's Matthew Slater that's down there. Okay, so
that's the first thing I thought.
Yeah, so Brady should not, I mean, he should have seen the safety come over, and he just failed to recognize it. He did not, by his own admission. He said, I sucked.
Right,
and he's he sucked. Yeah. It was not a Tom Brady day, but the Patriots are not just Tom Brady. Otherwise, they lose that game, don't you think?
Yeah, Grant, definitely, absolutely. I just, you know, I was just curious about kind of, when I first saw it, I thought, that is a dumb play to call. Who called that play?
Well, I think that both Tom and Bill O'Brien had some hand in it, because I think they felt like they could catch the Ravens asleep.
Yeah.
And it was predetermined. I guarantee you it was predetermined. That wasn't something they called on the sideline right there. They just said, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We've seen what Baltimore lines up in defensively after they have a tendency to give up turnovers, you know, and so they don't, you know, generally slide the safety over on the X receiver or whatever. So let's try this. Let's go deep if we're able to get a turnover, able to get a pick like that. Let's see if we can catch them napping. I guarantee you that was a pregame decision.
Yeah. Maybe it was silly of me, but I thought when they took over that drive, I thought, okay, long, slow, meticulous drive. Let's get the clock, you know, down to however, you know, let's waste as much time as we possibly can on this drive.
Right.
But maybe that was dumb thinking too, because you could always make the case that, you know, you give the Ravens a chance to come back with that. But that's what I expected.
Right.
So that's why, you know, I just, that was like, I threw up my hands. And, you know, after the work, you know, after, and Spikes, that was such a great interception, you know. And then to see that, it was just like, oh, God, you know. That was like heartbreaking.
Well, it was, but it all turned out okay, didn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I have to say, I was really, really excited to see Sterling Moore, because the whole game I was saying to my husband, I really like Sterling Moore, and I think he's got some potential. I'm going to be interested to see what happens next year, when he's got a full year. And
well, he did. He, you know, I think that they'll give him an opportunity, but he did get burnt. He did redeem himself, however, so we'll certainly give him some credit, for making the plays that counted, because you have to have the ability to make plays. And you had Brandon Spikes make one, you had Moore step up and not make one, but two at the end. And if either one of those plays does not occur, then the Patriots don't win the game. So you had playmakers, and that's the one thing you can say about this defense that they didn't have earlier this year that they now apparently have, is the ability to have some guys make plays, and they're going to need that against the Giants. Cap, thanks for the phone call. Before we go here, let me squeeze in my friend Big Al from Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Al, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, very, very good.
Good. What's up?
Yes, this is going to be a challenge getting through the next couple of weeks of uncomfortable highlights. Maybe there's something on the Discovery Channel, History Channel, something like that we can sub in instead of watching David Tyree, looped for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This is where you can get to know the rest of the channels on your system.
There you go. There you go. I think that's a good way to look at it.
But, I think there's two major things that are better about this team. There may be some things that are worse, but there's two major things that are better about this team that sets us up for this game better than the last time. And that is, we got a better running game this time, and we've also got three offensive tackles, assuming they're all healthy. Whereas last time I just never had a lot of faith in Nick Kayser. I was just never a big Nick Kayser fan, and he just whiffed so many times. If you do look at that game again, and I'm not suggesting you should, but if you do, I mean, he did a lot of whiffs in that game against a lot of people. They were, subbing in, going two and three deep, rotating defensive linemen in, and
sure,
he just couldn't block anybody.
Right.
And now we've got three guys, assuming again they're all healthy. I guess we got to monitor that the next couple of weeks, Vollmer, and I think the kid from Arizona made a great point. If we can get Vollmer, Solder, and Light all together and all on the field, that really will help us against this pass rush. And with the running game, I think that we got a better shot of keeping Brady upright than we did the last time.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Sounds good. It's just kind of early for me to X and O, Al, that's all.
Well, yeah, we got a long way to go, but I mean, like I say, just got to monitor them. Did Vollmer play on Sunday or not?
He was inactive.
He was inactive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we know if it was a healthy scratch or an injury scratch?
Well, it's always been an injury scratch. Now, he's participated in practices, but he's been a scratch for the game. So, your guess is as good as mine is for, Super Bowl.
Well,
I think it'll be, if he can go, it'll be all hands on deck, because they'll definitely, you have to understand, the guy hasn't played in a while, and he's going to be facing, certainly one of the stronger rushes they faced all year. So I would not be at all surprised to see him scratch for the game.
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised.
It wouldn't be bad to have him, just to have, maybe to give some of the other guys a break.
Keep in mind, he hasn't played. So are you going to throw him out there against the likes of, Justin Tuck? Are you going to throw him out there against Jason Pierre-Paul? When he hasn't played?
Maybe you got to watch the matchups and monitor the situation.
I'm not buying it, Al.
Okay.
I don't mean to disagree with you here, but I just, you're going to, it's like, why it's like throwing the Christians to the Lions. Come on.
Well, listen, I mean, he did pretty, we threw him in there when he was a rookie against Dwight Freeney, and he handled Dwight Freeney like
he's
like
been hurt and hasn't played. He hasn't had live practice.
I have faith in the kid if he's healthy.
Live contact. He hasn't had game practice. Why would you do that to him? I mean, he's got 2 weeks, and if he's out there banging every day, maybe they decide, okay, Alan George is right. We need to throw him in there and have him for depth, but I'll be stunned if I see that.
Well, let's just see how much he practices over the next couple of weeks, and maybe
right.
that'll give us a clue
right.
as to how much playing time.
Right, and they and I think it'd be great. I agree with you in theory, Al. Now, I agree with you here. It'd be great to have fresh bodies. You can rotate those three guys at those two tackle spots. So
that's
to speak.
Right. Gives
that
you more options and everything else. I'm not knocking the other two guys.
And by the way, I'm not including Light there because he's the left tackle. I'm including Marcus Cannon in that rotation.
Okay.
So it'd be Cannon, it would be Solder, and it would be Vollmer, and it'd be great to have that ability.
Yep. So we shall see. But I think, you know, with those offensive tackles, I think we're in better shape. Again, I was just never a big believer in Nick Kayser. I know we got him in the same draft with Mankins, and, you know,
Kayser. He's long gone.
He's gone. And I think their running backs are better. So if you have a little bit better running game, better tackles, then that's going to slow down that pass rush. And I think that we'll have a little bit better success against them than they did the last time.
Let's hope
that play, definitely we got lucky on Sunday. There's no doubt about it. It kind of reminded me of the Troy Brown play that we had at San Diego in that game, that playoff game a few years ago, where I think it was Cromartie or somebody from San Diego had picked off Brady at the end of the game, should have just hit the deck, and then the game's over. But he tried to, you know, advance the ball, and Troy Brown reached in and stripped it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we recovered the fumble, and, you know, boom, boom, we're in the end zone pretty soon, win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that really would have ended that game if he had just held on to not allowed himself to get stripped. This time, you know, our defensive back is there, strips him of the ball, and Lee Evans of the ball, and it was a good call.
No question. They did not blow.
They did not blow that call. I don't know about the announcers. I think some people are overreacting to the announcers. I don't know how they called everything, but I think that, you know, Phil Sims would only be biased in games where the New York Giants are playing.
If
he did the Super Bowl, maybe we'd have to worry.
That I would tend to agree with you, Al. Thank you for the call. All right, let's do this now, since we're already well into hour number two. I do want to bring you Bill Belichick from earlier today, because, you know, I realize there are some of you going, oh, God, got to listen to Belichick again. But let's do this. We'll get a break in here, because we also have to make sure that our sponsors are taken care of. And then once we do that, we're going to come back with Coach Belichick. And then following that, Kevin's put together some great highlights from the season to date, bring you up to date on everything we've done, not only with the season, but within the playbook as well. And then, Kevin, are you in Big E handling the fort tomorrow?
I hope so.
Okay, that's the game plan, right? And then I'll be back in here on Thursday, because I have some college basketball duties tomorrow. And then I know for a fact that PFW in Progress will be in Indianapolis next week.
Yep.
And that Pete Shepard and his show and my show here in the playbook will be here at Gillette Stadium all next week.
Yeah, at the same usual time.
And regular time.
Big Matt should be back in the studio taking care of you guys.
Great. So that's our game plan for Patriots radio coverage over the course of 2 weeks.
As of now, that's what I would venture to guess is going to happen.
Let's step forward, right? We'll be right back after this timeout and continue with more Inside the Playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Yeah, a great honor to be representing the AFC in this game. And we're looking forward to that opportunity. Of course, the Giants are a great team. Had a great year, and, you know, it's going to be our toughest game. We've had two tough ones, and we know this one's going to be on a higher level. So got a lot of work cut out for us ahead, but it's exciting to be able to have the opportunity to meet that challenge. Yesterday, and in particular, you know, it was a big organizational day of getting a lot of the logistics, at least the process started, maybe not all completed, but at least get things started that come with playing in the game. And, you know, that's just part of the process. And the coaches and, you know, and the rest of us are really now just starting to really work to full steam ahead on the Giants. But, you know, we've probably still got a little more few logistics to iron out. Until we can put all that behind us. But it's, again, it's a great opportunity and thrill to be in the game. And we're looking forward to the challenge. as I said after the game, I think our players did a great job of stepping up, competing. Wasn't perfect, but they played hard. They played with great effort, and I'm just glad that things, you know, worked out for them. We made a few more plays than the Ravens did, and we're able to win and move on.
Bill, your players have talked about how you approach each practice, no matter whether it's a big game or a regular season, with consistency as a coach. Can you talk a little bit about how important that is for you as a coach and a coaching staff, so that the players kind of know what to expect from you each week?
Well, I think every game is a big game. So I don't know what you mean about which ones are and which ones aren't. I mean, they all are. We don't have that many of them.
But in terms of approaching all of them with the same, you know, consistency as a coach?
Yeah. I mean, every time we get an opportunity to compete, then we try to take advantage of the time leading up to that opportunity, the practice week, the preparation, the film study, the, you know, understanding our game plan and our adjustments and all those kind of things, take advantage of the time that we have leading up to the competition, and make sure that we do as many things and the right things that we feel like we'll need to do for that particular game, which will bring its own unique challenges from any other one that we play. So I don't really think there's any other way to do it. I mean, what else is there to work on but the game that the next one on your schedule, the one that you're playing, and you try to cover all your bases for that game. And you play it, and then you start the process all over again with the next one.
Coach, where would you rate the importance of a left tackle in the hierarchy of positions, and how nice is it to have a guy like Matt Light there virtually every Sunday for 11 years?
Well, Matt's had a terrific career, and yeah, absolutely, he's been a rock for us there for, as you said, for, you know, for a long time, both physically and, you know, mentally, as far as assignments and his mental toughness and his consistency, you know, almost to the point where I don't want to say take it for granted, but it's, when you don't have a lot of problems, you kind of just, okay, assume that's solid. And but, you know, it's still a daily process on his part to prepare and physically and mentally get ready to play against some of the most athletic and some of the best players in the league and on our opponents on a weekly basis, which we'll see again this week. So, you know, every position's out there is important, and when something goes wrong, then it becomes real important. You know, everybody sees it and it becomes a big focus. But, you know, the thing about the tackle position is that there's a lot less help for those guys, and there's a lot more space to defend than there is for the inside players. And I don't want to say it's more important, or it's just different. You know, it's a different type of challenge that a tackle faces that a guy in the interior of the line faces. They're all big. They're all important. None of them are easy, but they're just a little bit different.
Bill, what's the main thing that you guys need to get done over these next 4 or 5 days before you leave to Indy? Is it game planning, practice, getting healthy, or is it just kind of dealing with the extra stuff that comes along with making the Super Bowl?
Well, I think there's a lot of things, but, you know, the logistics, that's part of it. That's something that we have to deal with on any away trip, or, you know, this is an extended away trip, so it has some elements of that, but then there are additional things. That's part of it, but, you know, the health of the team is always important. What a team is the healthy players that you can put out there on the field. So that's always something that we try to be mindful of and do everything we can to get it to the highest level, getting started on our opponent and understanding what they do and what we need to do against them and how those things match up and what adjustments we can anticipate or we've seen them make. So, it's all those things.
Hey, Bill, can you talk a little bit about Tom Coughlin? And obviously you've been on the same staff together before, and just your level of respect for him and your relationship with him and what makes him such a good head coach.
I have a lot of respect for Tom. I think he's definitely stood the test of time, you know, in a couple of organizations in Jacksonville and the Giants. I mean, of course, BC, but I'm saying, you know, at the NFL level, he's stood the test of time. He's tough. He's tough. His teams are disciplined. They're, you know, they play with great competitiveness and play smart. They're a good situational football team. They unfortunately go out there and beat them. They do a lot of things well, and that's kind of the way Tom is. He's tough. He's got a lot of experience. He's an intense coach, and I think that's, you know, reflected in the way his teams play.
Did you, just as a follow-up, Bill,
I've been with it a long time, as I mentioned before, you know, when I was the secondary coach and Tom was the receivers coach at the Giants, we worked against each other daily, and we also had a great rapport off the field of, you know, helping each other out, talking about the different techniques and players that of our upcoming opponents and suggestions of, you know, how to cover them or you know, helping each other out on things like that, as well as working with each other on the practice field. I mean, of all the coaches I've worked with, I mean, it was as good as any. I had an excellent relationship with him for us being on opposite sides of the ball, but being able to help each other and our players help each other and, you know, have a good, healthy, competitive situation. But also, you know, you got the guy coaching the other side, on the other side, trying to help you and you trying to help them just get better. And that certainly helped our secondary when I was with the Giants.
Just as a follow-up, Bill, did you ever at one point, you know, did he offer any, you know, he was a head coach before you were, and did you ever come to him for advice? Did he ever give you advice, you know, when you went into that head coaching realm at all? Did he ever offer you any advice as a head coach, you know?
After the 90s season, he went to BC and I went to Cleveland.
Yeah, I messed that up. My apologies.
I'm just not following you, that's all. I mean, you know, we talked to each other. We've talked about common problems, and he shared things with me, and I shared things with him. But, I mean, that's part of a friendship. It's part of a, you know, a mutual respect that we have. And, you know, we both have similar positions, you know, within, you know, the same league. So, I mean, there's some of that. Yeah, we're not in the same conference, so that's, you know, it's a lot easier than talking about something, you know, with somebody that's within your division, let's say. But mm-hmm. that's, I mean, I'm not really sure the coaching thing.
Coach,
Vince Wilfork and what his play and leadership mean to your defense.
Well, Vince is, you know, he's really the elder statesman on the defense in terms of, you know, time with the New England Patriots, and we have other players that have played longer, but not necessarily, you know, on this team. But he's, you know, he's got a great work ethic, very unselfish, does whatever we've asked him to do. We put him in a lot of different positions, knows, obviously, you know, on the guards, outside on the tackles, gap schemes, two-gap techniques, stunts, you know, whatever it is. He's a very smart football player. He's instinctive, works really hard, very unselfish, does a great job with the younger players in terms of helping them improve and things to work on, things to make them more aware of his experience and impart that on them. Again, very unselfish, very supportive of all the other players on defense, the linebackers and the defensive backs, and you know, trying to tie it all together and play good team defense. He's given us on a lot of levels, on the field, off the field, as a captain in individual meetings and in some group settings. You know, I think he does a good job of all that. But I think the most important thing is just the way he goes about it. You know, he doesn't talk as much as he does just demonstrate how to prepare, how to practice, how to do your job, you know, how to be alert, how to communicate, you know, the different line calls and things like that. And that really is, I think, the best way for a player to lead is by, first of all, doing his job very well, that everybody can see how that's done and try to emulate that.
Bill, Mike Vega, Boston Globe, just wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, the presence of you know, Josh McDaniels on your staff now, and with Bill O'Brien kind of juggling, you know, a lot of balls here, especially now that, you know, he's got stuff to do with Penn State. How important is it to have McDaniels here with you? And can you compare to the situation when you had Charlie Weiss preparing to go to, you know, Notre Dame and also trying to prepare for a Super Bowl? And has Josh's role expanded, you know, through these past few weeks here?
Well, you know, it's great to have Josh here. Josh, you know, was here for a long time. He obviously made a lot of contributions to our team and our success. And he and I had a good working relationship. It's great to have him back. But that being said, I mean, Billy has continued to do in the last few weeks everything that he, I mean, since he's been named the head coach of Penn State, he's done everything that he's done this year and last year, you know, on a weekly basis. He's had the same responsibilities. He's, you know, I mean, he's just worked very hard to try to, you know, manage the two situations. But by far and away, the majority of his time and energy and effort have all been put into the New England Patriots. And he's done his full-time job here well and very diligently. And just like he always has, like there hasn't been any difference. But it's good to have Josh here. And, you know, Josh has got a lot of experience. He knows our players. He knows our system. Again, we... You know, Billy and Josh work together. Josh and I work together. Dante, Ivan. So, you know, there's a lot of background and history there that, you know, has pretty quickly, I think, come together, come up to speed. And, you know, everybody has the roles that they've had. And Josh has just added a little bit more to that by his presence. But it hasn't taken away from anything that everybody else has been doing. It's just mm-hmm. added to it.
Question for you. After watching the AFC Championship and seeing the play that Rob Gronkowski got hurt on, how fortunate do you feel that wasn't more serious than it was? And then a second to that, what's your level of concern for his ability to perform at a top level in the Super Bowl?
Right. Well, we'll see how it goes, you know, with Rob and some of the other players that are, you know, have some that are getting treatment. We'll just see how it is when we get back out on the field. We haven't practiced, obviously, in the last couple of days, and we'll just see how all that is, you know, when it's time to go. You know, it's as you know, Mike, it's hard to, I think, gauge injuries. I mean, we've seen some of the biggest hits in the game, and both guys get up and go back to the huddle. Like, you know, it's not any big thing. And then we've seen other plays that look a lot less less contact or, you know, less impact, and because of the angle or the way it happened or the, you know, the whatever caused the problem, that it's more serious. So it's just hard to I just don't know how to, you know, really comment on that. You know, we've seen plays that look like, you know, gee, I'm surprised somebody isn't all slow getting up off that, and then you see other plays that don't look like it should be that big of a problem, but something happened, and you know, the players has some type of injury. So it's hard to, you know, rank them that way, because they just don't turn out the way that they look. We got a lot of tough players on our team. I think that everybody's going to do all they can to be ready physically and mentally, but especially physically, to try to compete in the game. And all that takes.
What were your recollections, or what was your reaction to David Tyree's catch? Did you know it was a catch immediately? Did you sort of realize how significant it was at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about all that. It was a long time ago. I got a lot of comments on the record after the game and everything else, so I can go back and look at all the things that happened then or some other year.
Bill, can you talk about the play of some of your lesser-known defensive linemen, guys like Kyle Love and Brandon Dederick, and how they've sort of progressed through the season?
Well, of course, Brandon started out the year on PUP, so he, you know, wasn't able to participate with the team in training camp or in the first six regular season games, weeks, then started practice after that. So he's kind of got a little bit of a late start, but, you know, Brandon's worked hard. He's certainly improved a lot from last year, you know, his rookie year when you know, in just terms of technique and consistency and, you know, reacting, his quick reactions and so forth. But he's, you know, he's had a good solid year for us, you know, as has Kyle. Kyle, kind of similar to Brandon, you know, had a good year for us last year, was able to contribute. But unlike Brandon, Kyle was able to start the first day of training camp and really build on his rookie season, and had a good camp and has had a good season, where every day, every week, really, he's been able to work, to improve, to just refine his game and take it to a higher level. And I think that he missed in the early part of the year, which was, you know, significant, all the training camp practices and the first 6 weeks of the season, just put him a little bit behind. But he's still way ahead of where he was last year. So both guys have done a good job for us. They're both, you know, good, young defensive linemen that are continuing to get better. And, you know, they've contributed for us in a lot of different ways, in the running game, in the passing game, in sub-situations. So they've shown good. They've been very valuable for us. And it was good to get Dedrick back, and along with Ron Brace, after that sixth game.
But you look at the way the defense has played all year. I mean, can you tell us how gratifying was it to see them perform the way they did in the AFC Championship? You know, come together at that moment, and to see, you know, individual performance like Sterling Moore, a guy who wasn't even on your roster at the beginning of the season, and you know, the ability to go out and identify guys like that, to bring them aboard and to have them contribute in timely situations like that.
Well, I think that our defensive players and coaches have really, you know, worked hard all year. At the end of the season, the end of the regular season, I think things, you know, we had more to show for it, let's put it that way. I don't think that necessarily the work ethic or the desire or the competitiveness to do it maybe had changed a lot, but the results started to improve because of a little more continuity, a little better execution, better technique, more confidence, you know, all those kind of things that came together. And I thought we had our moments, but there were a lot of times in the latter part of the season where we had stretches that we, you know, we played very competitively on defense. And that was true in the Denver game, and it was, you know, true in the Baltimore game. You know, I mean, there were other moments that were certainly less than ideal, but overall, you know, it's a group of guys and coaches that have worked hard and tried to get better on a daily basis, and I think they have over the course of the season, more so in the five or 6 weeks.
Coach, can you talk about James Hedebo's progress from when he first arrived to the way he's playing now?
Well, he's had another solid year for us. You know, came in primarily with a lot of experience in the kicking game, you know, seen from the Jets when he was with the Jets, and how well and how hard he played against us there, and his role has, you know, expanded a little bit defensively. But I think he's, you know, still pretty much the same player. I mean, he's a tough guy that's smart. He's has a very good understanding of defensive concepts and communication, leader, and recognizes things quickly in the secondary, which is important for the safety position to communicate that in the secondary, and also to the, you know, the outside linebackers, and run force and coverage adjustments, things like that. So, you know, he's a hard worker. He's a really diligent guy. He knows the game plan. He studies the opponents well, and he does a good job of communicating that on the field. He's tough. He's a contact player that, you know, is physical, taking on blockers. He's a physical tackler. Does a good job for us in the kicking game. So he's got a lot of value in a number of different areas for us.
We'll take two more questions. Go ahead.
Bill, I'm just curious your thoughts on the fact that the Giants this season, they've had a number of rematches against teams that they kind of had to beat, I think starting with Dallas and the last game of the regular season, and then the Packers, and then obviously this past week against the 49ers, that they've all taken the second game of the rematch. I'm just curious your thoughts and whether you've been able to look at film, maybe the first game of the rematch, and compare them to what they're doing in the second game of them to allow them to win those second games and what that means for your matchup in Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think in a lot of the games that you mentioned, like a lot of other games in this league, they're very competitive games. They come down to a player or two, and that's what this league is. It's being able to, you know, to make key plays in critical situations, and they've done a great job of that. This is the third time we've played them now this season, so I know one of the last preseason game, but I mean, we have a familiarity with them from that game and then the regular season game, and now working on them again. So I think this is a team that we, you know, have some background with, you know, relative to most of the other NFC teams that we've played through the years, and we know how good they are. I mean, they're well coached. I mean, it starts at the top. Great ownership from, you know, John Mara and his family. Done a great job acquiring personnel and players. Tom's done and his staff have done a great job of pulling the schemes together and putting their players in productive positions where they can excel, and they've done that on both sides of the ball and in the kicking game. And they perform well under pressure in critical games. They've played some of their best football when they've had to, when it's counted the most, and that's what you got to do at this time of year. If you don't, then you're on the outside looking in. But they've done that, and it's a great credit to their organization, their coaching staff, and their team. So we know they're gonna. We know this is the best team we've played. This is gonna take our best game, and that's the way it should be.
Thank you.
Bill, you sort of touched on this earlier in talking with Tom Coughlin, your days together in New York. Do you look back on those days with fondness and still have kind of an affection for the franchise?
Yeah, absolutely. I was there for 12 years. Those were 12 great years of my life. I loved every one of them with the Giants, the people that I worked with, where I lived, our community. Two of my kids are born there, so yeah, there's a lot of fond memories there. Absolutely, Tom and the relationship on the coaching staff with those guys, I mean, especially on defense, with Romeo, and so forth. I mean, there was Keith in the interview there when last time I was in that facility. Certainly an emotional moment. It struck a lot of chords, and that was a big part of my career, my life.
Thank you very much, Coach. Thanks, everyone, for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it? Right?
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, and that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
This is Gil Santos along with Gino Cappelletti and Scott Zolak as the New England Patriots get set to open the 2011 NFL season. First and goal at the 4. Ben Jarvis trying to look for running room. Spins inside. Goes in. Touchdown. Brady takes the snap. Back to throw. Gets rid of it down the field. Caught. 20-yard line. 30. 35. 40. Down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance. A 99-yard touchdown play. How about that? And that's going to take care of this one. The Patriots start the season 1-0. Fourth and goal, San Diego, Patriot 1 yard line. Hand off in the backfield comes to Tolbert. He is hit and stopped. Patriots defense holds. Gerard Mayo. Brady's back to throw. Fires to the near side right. Caught. Touchdown. High in the air, Aaron Hernandez. Snap the release. Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right. And it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Feet all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Direct snap to Brady. Looking, fires, end zone. Caught, touchdown.
Rob Gronkowski.
Patriots in control, 35-21.
Victory formation. Brady will take the snap, and he will take the knee, and that will be all she wrote.
Direct snap to Brady to throw to the right. It is intercepted at the 10-yard line. Brady to throw on first down over the middle, and it is intercepted. Brady pump fakes right, now comes back to the left, and it is intercepted in the end zone.
Three touchdown passes and three interceptions today.
Brady in a shotgun, takes the snap, fires, tipped and intercepted.
A 28-yard field goal attempt for Lindell. Win it or lose it right here for Buffalo. All right, snap. The ball is down. The kick is up, and the kick is good. And the Buffalo Bills end a 15-game losing streak against the Patriots. Ready, long count. Back to throw. Looks, goes left. It is caught. Down and in. Catch made there by Wes Welker, and the Patriots jump on top. Play action fake by Campbell, looking to the right. Fires to the end zone. It is intercepted. Intercepted by the Patriots in the end zone. Patrick Chung. Ridley, the running back, takes the handoff through a hole on the 30-yard line at the 25. Inside the 25, 20, 15 to the 10, to the 5, and he's in.
Patriots winning and going away 31-19 to improve to 3-1 on the season.
Third down and two for the Jets from their own 43. Back to throw. Is Sanchez going to be sacked? On first down, Brady play action fake. Shoots it long and deep downfield. Well, he's got it. 45, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10 inside the 10-yard line. Brady, inside handoff to Green Ellis to the left. He's going to go charging into the end zone. Touchdown. Direct snap to Sanchez. Here's the rush. Ninkovich has an interception. And that puts the cap on it. And the Patriots will come away winners in this one. 30-21 over the New York Jets. Direct snap comes to Romo to throw to the right, and it is intercepted at midfield. Kyle Arrington, his fourth. And off to Felix Jones to the right. Fumble on the play, ball on the ground. Patriots,
they got it.
Vincent Wilfork. Romo on second and goal at the Patriots 7. Back to throw. Being rushed. Going to be hit. Going to be sacked. Careening in was Andre Carter. Brady takes the snap. Looks. Fires. Ends off.
Yeah!
Touchdown! Touchdown!
Oh, yes!
Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez. Tom Brady pulls the fat out of the fire.
Roethlisberger takes the snap, looks to the left, fires to the left. It is caught and into the end zone. Touchdown. Snap to Roethlisberger. Back to throw. Looks. Gets rid of the football to the left. And it is caught for a touchdown by Antonio Brown. Brady takes the shotgun snap, and he's back to throw. Steps up in the pocket. Steps up. Going to be sacked, and that's going to be the ball game. Manning on first down. Handoff to Jacob. Big hole. Races into the end zone. Touchdown. That was too easy. That was like stealing. Play action fake break. Looking. Goes over the middle with it. It is batted in the air and intercepted. Brady back to throw on second down and three. Fires to the left. And it is intercepted. Manning calling signals on third and goal. Hand off to Nolan. Back to throw. Fires. And it is caught for a touchdown. Jake Ballard. A one-yard touchdown pass. And Manning brings them back and breaks the Patriots fans' hearts. Sanchez takes the shotgun snap, back to throw, now being chased out of the pocket and sacked. Brought down back at the 34-yard line by Andre Carter. Brady takes the shotgun snap.
Free play.
Flag goes down. Fires to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Gronkowski. Sanchez is back to throw. Fires it. It is picked off by Rob Ninkovich at the 30. Brady looks. Fires left. Caught by Branch. He turns and he goes in. Touchdown. Sanchez awaiting the snap. Stands at the goal line. Looks. Fires over the middle. Intercepted. At the 10, at the 5. Touchdown. Patriots. Rob Ninkovich. That is going to be all she wrote as the New England Patriots come into MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and just bury the Jets by a final score of 37-16. Snap to Brady, play action fake, steps up, fires up the field, wide open across the 30, 25, to the 20, to the right side of the 15, and inside the 15-yard line, touchdown. All the way down and into the end zone, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski. Brady, back to throw, fires right, complete there to Gronkowski, and his feet at the 15, at the 10, at the 5, and he is down, and he is in to the end zone, touchdown. down. And that's going to be the end of the football game. The Patriots improved to 7-3 on the season by smacking the Kansas City Chiefs 34-3. Vince Young at quarterback, play action fake on first down. Rooks goes to the left with it, and it is intercepted on the far side of the 40. Antoine Molden with a pass interception. Brady with the football in his hand, fires down the field, wide open, thank you, touchdown, West Welker. Brady stands in the pocket, fires down the field, caught, touchdown, was that sweet. Was that sweet to Rob Gronkowski. And that will be all she wrote as the Patriots improve to 8-3, thundering past the Philadelphia Eagles 38-20. Snap goes to Orlovsky. Back to throw. Looks going to be sacked. Back across the 10 to the 12-yard line. Kyle Love and Andre Carter and Rob Ninkovic. Brady to pass to the right. Wide open touchdown. Rob Gronkowski. Snap to Brady. Two-point Gronkowski on the right. Nobody's going to stop this. Train. Boom. End zone. Touchdown. All right, so Brady takes the knee, and that ends the game. It ended a little dicey for the Patriots. They improved to 9-3, and the Colts fall to 0-12. Snap to Grossman. Back to throw. Steps up. Going to be sacked in the end zone for a safety. Ball on the ground.
Fumble.
And let's see who has it. Vincent Wilfork already has two interceptions this season. Now he has a touchdown. Snap to Brady. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, of course. And that breaks the record for touchdowns by a tight end in an NFL season. Brady calling signals. Back to throw. Steps up. He gets out of the trouble. Pump fakes. Now fires over the middle. It is caught. Welker. Five. In. Touchdown. Grossman takes the snap, back to throw, steps up, dumps it over the middle, it is intercepted! Hey! Through the hands of a Redskin and intercepted by the Patriots at the 7-yard line! Yeah. Tebow is hit in the backfield, spins off of the hit, and finds himself into the end zone! Snap to Brady, looking left, now firing left, open, caught, touchdown! To Chad Ochocinco! And off to ball to the left side. Fumble on the play. Recovered by the Patriots inside the Denver 20-yard line. Tebow's going to be hit and dropped. Ball is on the ground. Patriots ball. Bosby under it at his 10. Takes it in the wind. Fumbles the ball. Patriots have it. Brady to hand off to Woodhead to a hole to the left. He's inside the 5 and he's in. Touchdown, Danny Woodhead. The kneel down. And that's all she wrote. Patriots improved to 11-3 by coming back from a 16-7 deficit to outscore the Denver Broncos 34-7. Fumble on the play.
They got
snap.
It. They got
they
it.
Think the Patriots have it.
Looks like Wilfork.
Recovered by Vincent Wilfork. Snap to Brady. Looks. Now starts to run to his left. Now fires to the end zone. Caught. The back line of the end zone. Touchdown. Deion Brett. Patriots. Quarterback sneak by Brady. And he is going to be ruled in. Touchdown. And that is going to end it. The Patriots clinch a first round bye. Ryan Fitzpatrick takes the snap, looking left, fires to the left, caught there by Spiller, he's going to run into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo Bills. They are blowing the doors off the Patriots in the first quarter. Green Ellis is the tailback in an I formation, takes the handoff, then Jarvis leaps into the end zone for a touchdown. Play action fake by Brady, fires to the right, wide open, inside the 20 to the 15 to the 10, and dancing into the end zone, Aaron Hernandez. Brady back to throw, fires toward the end zone, caught. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski. Then Jarvis off right tackle, smacks it in the end zone. Touchdown. Brady back to throw on second and goal at the 7. Fires to the right. Caught. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski. Pass to the right. Intercepted and run into the end zone for a touchdown. Sterling Moore. The Patriots fell behind 21-0 after one quarter. Since then, they outscored the Buffalo Bills 49-0.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2